Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today I would like to talk about preparing the heart of people to hear the gospel. The topic of the camp this year is Fisher of Men or Evangelism. And in evangelism, one of the most important things to do is to sow the seed of the Word of God. So then, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. I remember when I was a new believer, the way I help people to get saved, this is my way at that time. I would speak about God to a person again and again until that person gets saved. For example, when I was a new believer, I went home. I was living in eastern part of Thailand. I would go home a few weekends a month. So every time I sat down at the dining table, I will begin to pray out loud in front of my dad and start to talk about God and Jesus in my prayer. And when I opened my eyes, my dad was mad at me and said, "Why are you talking about God here?" You know, but I kept talking like that for 2 years. And every time I pray, he would ask me a question like, "What is that? What is that?" So I have a chance to explain to him what is all about Christianity, about the death of Jesus and salvation. And 2 years later, my dad got saved and invited Jesus into his life. And he still follows Jesus even to today. He's 87 now. Amen. And then what happened? I came to America. I wanted to witness to my brother. And I want to witness to both brother and sister-in-law what I do. I challenge him, "Could you come to meet me once a week and we read the Bible together?" So he accepted my challenge and he came and sit and read the Bible. Faith come by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So the more we read, the more we talk, his faith grow up. And eventually, he accepted Jesus Christ. And his wife accepted Jesus Christ too. So you can see that it's important to sow the seed. But as we sow the seed, if the ground is not ready to receive the word, the seed will not produce fruit, will not grow up to be a tree. Therefore, before we sow the seed, we need to prepare the ground, the soil, a little bit. Amen. We need to plow. We need to prepare the ground. And today I'd like to talk about how we prepare the hearts of your unsaved loved ones, your friends, to be ready and to be receptive to the Word of God. Amen. We have CD now. You can send CD to your friend. You can send CD to people to listen. And I can guarantee if they listen to the CD, they shall be saved. Because the Word of God will change their mind. But at the same time, you need to make sure that the soil is not resistant. Everyone say, not resistant. Amen. You know, when I first came to America, I was a little bit disappointed. When I was working at Harborview Hospital, a lot of doctors and nurses over there really ridiculed and talked bad about churches and Christianity. And I came from Thailand, got converted out of Buddhism, gung-ho about Jesus, love Jesus, on fire. But when I heard American people here, I'm talking about local people at that time in the hospital, talk bad about Christianity, I was so heartbroken. I said, why is this? Why people look down on Christianity? And later on, I find out that people don't understand that they need to prepare the heart of the unbeliever to receive Jesus. And today, I like to talk a little bit. If I cannot finish, I will continue in the camp. Amen. So, first thing that you need to do, you know, how many people want to know how to prepare the soil? You need to prepare the soil, is that right? And I have done that with my dad, with my brothers, with people, and even, I remember Pastor Da tried to reach out to Yao and Barry for 5 years. It took us a long time. It's a long journey, but eventually they accepted Jesus Christ. Amen. It took us a few months to reach out to Thai. And eventually Thai accepted Jesus Christ. But all the way, while we are reaching out to them, we prepare their hearts to receive the Word of God. And one way to prepare the heart of people is to make sure that their conscience is receptive to the Word of God. How do you prepare their conscience to receive the Word of God? Now, the first thing I want to share today is that you need to live a godly life. Everyone say, godly life. I'm going to read many scriptures today to help you understand what the Word of God says. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by Him deeds are weighed. In other words, God doesn't want only lip service. He wants to see your lifestyle and your action. He wants to make sure that you don't just talk about hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He wants to make sure that your lifestyle is godly. Your life must shine the light of God. People see you, they need to put the thumb up, not the thumb down. They should not say Christians are bad people. Christians are selfish people. Christians are very arrogant people. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 verse 19, at the end of the scripture, say, wisdom is proved right by her actions. Your actions must speak louder than your word. People need to see the godliness and righteousness in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 25, the Bible says, in the same way, good deeds are obvious. And even those who cannot be hidden. Good deeds must be obvious. People must see your good deeds. When people walk into your house and they see how your husband and wife relate to each other, are they impressed with Jesus in you? Or they see the husband yell at the wife, get mad, throw stuff around, and the wife just yell back. Do you think that will give good testimony to people? No. And that's why I believe that one of the most important issues in our Christian life is to make a decision to be soul winners. I make a decision to be a soul winner since I was a young believer. And that impact me. You know why impact me? I said, God, actually, a while ago, I was kneeling down here during worship. I said, God, use me to save so many souls before I die. I want to see many people come to know God. And once you make that decision, you will strive for whatever I need to have and to do to be able to see souls saved. And one of the things that I need to strive for is the perfection of God, is the godliness, is the righteous life, is to become a godly husband, to become a godly dad, to become a godly doctor, a godly pastor, so that when people see me, they will not be stumbled. They will not say that, oh, I don't want Christianity. I don't want your Jesus. Because when I see you, I don't see Jesus in you. When I walk in the hospital, I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to say, praise the Heavenly Father in this man's life. So that when I preach the gospel to them, they will listen to me. Amen. It will help you to make a decision to live a godly life. It's a decision. One day, God told me like this. Son, you know, sometimes as a pastor, I complain to God a little bit. Sometimes I complain to God. You know, I express my sincere feeling to God. I say, God, why certain people keep sinning? Why certain people are not seeking God? Why they are not following God? And God say, son, it's not your fault. It's their own heart. It's a heart condition. Some people, the heart condition is seeking after the Lord. Some people are not. So it's their own problem. But my job is keep preaching. Keep telling people. Keep inspiring. Keep showing example. So I want to ask you today that change your heart. by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your heart say, God, I want to give you the honor and glory. I want everyone who come to know my life, they see that I live a godly life. Amen. Amen. They see the way you live your life. You go to work on time. You don't cheat the time at work. You don't steal pen from your work. You don't steal papers. You don't gossip in your workplace. You don't spend the working time calling and use your working time to do your own things. Amen? Amen. You're honest. You don't cheat. I told my manager at that time, she already left. I'm looking for a new manager. I told her that make sure I pay every single penny of my tax. I'm not going to cheat the government. I want to be clear to them that I want to live a godly life. Amen. Amen. It's so important that people see you and they see Jesus. Yeah. I know it's a price to pay because you don't follow the flow of the society. The society say lies, cheat, take advantage of people. But God, our God say no, live a holy life. Yeah. Live a righteous life. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. If you want to show wisdom of God, you live a good life by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 say again, live such good lives among the pagans. Pagans mean unbelievers. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. My dear brother and sister, we make a choice to live a good life. Amen. I heard a rumor that people falsely accuse me that I am false teacher. They accuse me all the accusation. And I have two choices. I fight them back, talk bad about them. Or I'm going to choose to be godly and will not talk bad back against anybody. I keep my mouth shut. I don't want to attack anyone. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to love them. We need to choose every day. You know, life is a choice. You make a choice. Amen. Every single day, the minute you wake up in the morning, you make a choice whether you brush your teeth or not. You make a choice what kind of clothes you're going to wear. By the way, you wear very good today. Very good. Nice. You all look good. Amen. You make a choice what kind of makeup you're going to put on. You make choices every day from you wake up until you sleep. Sometimes you make choice at night to wear while you're sleeping. Is that right? Have you dream? Sometimes you have dream and you make a choice in your dream. So I make a choice. You make a choice to live a godly life. Amen. That people will see good deeds in you. Look at Jesus. Jesus is our good example. In John chapter 8 verse 46, the Bible says like this, can any of you, wow, this sentence should be the hallmark of your life, the trademark of your life. John 8:46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? That's what Jesus said. No one. I challenge you to go read the four gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will never able to find that Jesus sinned even one time. So the same thing. We need to have a life that no one can prove us guilty. Amen. Amen. We need to be honest people. We need to be courteous people. We need to be loving people. We need to be generous people. We need to watch our mouth carefully what we say. We need to watch our heart carefully. We need to watch our deeds carefully. How we handle stuff. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I already see some of you are like that. Many of you are living a godly life. And I want to encourage you to continue to do so. My dear brother, sister, I want to encourage you. Never miss the meeting. The Bible said, let us, all of us, not
give up coming together and encourage one another. As a pastor, I have observation that people who tend to miss the meeting, the spiritual life going downhill. But when you come together, what happens? We stir up one another. We spur one another up to live a godly life. You get challenged. That's why it's so important to be together on a regular basis. Amen. Now, I want to explain to you, when I say godly life, what does it mean? It means a life that is demonstrating God's character. I give you an example in the Bible. One of the men in the Bible that he is my hero. I have a few heroes in the Bible. One is David, one is Joseph, one is Daniel, and one is Jesus, and one is Paul. And one of the hero in the Bible, is his name is Joseph. I'm going to read the scripture to you. I want to explain to you through the scripture today. Genesis chapter 39 talk about Joseph. Joseph lived a godly life to the point that even Pharaoh and everyone knew that this man believed in Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 verses 2 to 4, the Lord was with Joseph. You see the importance of the anointing? You need the presence of God. If the anointing is with you, what happened? He prospered. I would like to encourage all of you to welcome the presence of God. When the presence of God is with you, you shall prosper. Amen. You will never lack, because the presence of God comes with prosperity. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, you see, the Bible says, people, his master can notice that God is with this man. Can you have that life witness? That when people see you, this guy is different. This woman is different. Something different in this person than me and the rest of the office here. And they can recognize, yes, God is with this man. Everything he touches, everything she touches, good. Amen. I want to tell you one thing. When I was at Harborview Hospital, I have a boss named Dr. H. Richard Wynn. Tim knows very well. And God was really with me. I was speaking with thick accent. I did not understand American culture very well. A lot of people laughed at me the way I talk English at that time. And people still laugh at me today. Yesterday, somebody corrected me while I was preaching. Amen. And, you know, but one thing that happened in my training is this. Every hospital that I went to, the list of complications and the list of death is this. Compared to other hospital that other neurosurgeons take care, you know, we take turn in four hospital, children hospital, and also university, Harborview, and veteran hospital. We took turn to cover each hospital. Every time I went to each hospital, the list of death and the list of complication is this much, two or three patients. But other hospital we call every end of the month, we have a conference called mortality and morbidity conference. Morbidity means complication. Mortality means death. So all the residents have to show all the dead patient and all the complication. My list is this much, two or three. Other list like this long. My boss kept looking at me and say, why this guy everywhere he went? I'm not better. I'm actually knowledge wise. I'm not better than local American doctor here. But you know what? The Lord was with me. And the Lord can do the same thing to you. Whatever company you work for. Amen. You're going to be the best salesman. You make the best sale in the whole region. You make contact. God give favor to you. You talk. You will meet your customer out of the blue. Like, why you show up here? Yeah, I'm show up here. You want to buy something? Yes. You know, God is with you. If God is with me, he's no respecter of any person. If he can be with Joseph, he can be with me, and he can be with you. Yeah. What you need to do is to make a decision to live a godly life and to welcome the presence of God and live a life that's pleasing to God. And if God's hand is upon you, who can come against you? Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter you speak with accent or not. It doesn't matter what background. Amen. If God is with you, you have the everything. That's what, now I'll come back to the scripture here, otherwise I keep preaching about this. When his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success. Who gives success? The Lord. The Lord gave him success in everything. Everyone say everything. You like that word? I like that word, everything. Not only some, not only a portion. Everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar, his boss, put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Wow. I believe that the boss, Potiphar, saw the trustworthiness in this man. This man would not steal, would not cheat, would not talk bad about his boss. He was trustworthy. He can be trusted. That is the character of God. If you go to work in your office and your boss say, I can trust this man, and you talk about Jesus, your boss will say, yes, your Jesus is real. But if you cheat, you talk bad, you gossip, people will not listen to your gospel, to the gospel of Jesus through your mouth. That's why it's very important to live a trustworthy life. Look at verses 22 to 23. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all, this is in jail now, In all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever. Everyone say, whatever. He did. Wow, the Bible repeated second time. All of us say like this. The Lord.
Is with me.
I welcome the presence of the Lord. I welcome the anointing. I live in the fear of God. I want to please God. And He will give me success. The hands of the Lord is upon me. Who can come against me? His favor will be on my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to live a life of trustworthiness. Everyone say trustworthy. Number two, but we can see the life of Jesus. I give you example here, how to live a godly life. Look at Jesus himself. Why so many people follow Jesus? Why? He is a traveling minister. He was preaching all day, all night, traveled from city to city. But you notice that he is different. You know, I know that when I came to America, it was 1985. And at that time, we heard bad news about Christianity in America, about cheating money from the TV evangelists. It's about the committing adultery, all this stuff causing all American people in this society hate church, get mad at church, get mad at Christianity. But I want to tell you one thing. If you see one bad police officer, it doesn't mean that the whole department is bad. The same thing, if you see one bad representative, one bad evangelist or pastor, it doesn't mean that the whole Christianity is bad. Amen. So that's why we need to watch our life carefully. Amen. We should not go to any place and cheat and get greedy for money and serve for our own agenda. Look at Jesus, how Jesus demonstrate the life godly character. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. You think Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? You think if Jesus healed the sick 2,000 years ago, he will still heal the sick today? Amen. Let's believe that God still healed the sick today. Amen. Now, okay, continue to say, those suffering from severe pain, the demon possessed,
those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Everyone who come to Jesus, he healed them. No exception. Can you believe that? Amen. Can you believe that when you come to Jesus, Jesus will heal you? He's a compassionate God. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan followed him. You can see the lifestyle of Jesus. The lifestyle of Jesus is to show mercy, compassion. He spent time laying hand on people, cast out demons, healing the sick. He did not live his life for himself. He lived his life for other people. He cared about the well-being of other people. Amen? Amen. I know that before we became Christians, we all lived our life for ourselves. Me. I. Myself. Is that right? My. But if you live your life selfishly that way, no one gonna come to know God. You need to be generous. You need to be compassionate. You need to be merciful. Reaching out to people, loving people. And I know that that can be done only by the Holy Spirit. You know why I love revival? I came from Buddhism. And when I came from Buddhism, when I became a new believer, I still use the same principle of Buddhism, is that you learn the law and you can do the law. Religion gives you the law and you do the law. Yes, we need the law. We need to know the Bible. But in fact, I cannot do those law because I'm selfish. I'm a sinner by nature. So the only way that God gonna help me is to put His Spirit inside me and move on inside. I am the glove and He is the hand. That's why the more you are filled, the more you are touched, the more you are manipulated, the more you are led, the more you are marinated, the more you are drunk in the Spirit, the more His character gonna come out of you. Yes. Is that right? Yes. Because He's gonna move on the inside of you to be compassionate like Jesus. Yes. Last night, at the end of the service, I walk around, look at people's face. Oh, Holy Spirit on full inside of me. I look at everyone, it's so beautiful. Everyone is so beautiful. Oh, and you know, I last night I look at one sister here. And I say, and God spoke to me, tell her that God already set you free from the curse of sickness and you're going to live a long life. I didn't have a chance to go to tell her. She's sitting in the back there. I didn't have a chance, but God just poured love into my heart. Everyone, oh, I want them to be blessed. I want them to be set free. I want them to be healed. That is the heart of God. God doesn't want to torture people. Yes. God wants to bless people. Yes. God wants to show love to people. Yes. And the same thing, if you have the heart of God, if you have the Spirit inside you, feeling inside you, you want to bless them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that one of the success that I have in my practice is this. Because every time patients walk into my room and they talk about I sit in my chair like this talking to my patient. And when the patient begin to describe their sickness and their suffering, my body go like this. You know, I really, God, I want you to do well. The compassion just fill my heart. I hate to see people sick. I hate to see people suffer. Amen. Because that is the heart of God. Amen. The heart of God is to love people like Jesus. Put on, clothe yourself with the heart of God. And when people see you, you know, Jesus never walk around and judge people. He did not walk into the prostitute and say, you're bad. You are not going to church. You're bad. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, I forgive you. I loved you. Go and sin no more. You can see that, but religion say, you're bad, you don't do this, you don't do this, judge, point finger. And don't do that way in the church. We don't judge one another. We must love one another. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. We should encourage one another. That is the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this lady. Look at this lady. This lady followed Jesus, and she Because Jesus has done something for her, that's why she followed Jesus all the days of her life. Look at this. Would you be happy to be labeled this way? Mark chapter 16 verse 9. This is how the Bible labeled Mary Magdalene. Do you know how the Bible labeled her? Look at this. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. You like to be labeled that way? Debbie, who followed Jesus, whom had been driven out 100 demons. Wow, what a privilege. I have demons driven out of me. Amen. So in other words, Jesus went around, set the captive free. And when they see the heart of Jesus, the power of Jesus, they want to follow him. That's why I keep encouraging all of you, seek more anointing. Amen. Seek more power and have the heart of love and pray for people. Because when people get touched by God, they will never forsake Jesus. I remember the real situation in Bangkok. Where is Tom? Pirate. Was he around here a while ago? Pirate. 2 sisters came to the church, demon possessed. Every time they came, demon possessed. Eventually, Jesus cast demon out of them, both of them. And now they're joyful. They never miss church even one Sunday. They follow Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus did good to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Goodness leads people to repentance.
Amen.
Let's just repeat together. Goodness leads people to repentance. We need to do good to people. Amen. If people do bad to you, do evil to you, don't pay back with evil. Do good to them. A godly life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I would like to encourage all of you. You live a life of godliness. A life that is full of God's character. You check, please check your spiritual thermometer. Wake up every morning. I want to encourage you. I wake up every morning and I put the thermometer in my spiritual tongue, under my spiritual tongue. And I measure. I ask myself, am I still on fire? Do I still love Jesus? Do I still live my life for Jesus? Am I still hungry for God? You know, sometimes the temptation in the world, especially when I sit at the Waikiki Beach, I forget about the presence of God. So I have to wake up. Love Jesus. Love the presence of God more than Waikiki Beach. More than Maui. Amen. You have to be careful. Because if you don't check your own thermometer, your own temperature, your spiritual temperature, you may backslide without knowing it. I tell you one thing. Nothing is worse than having a person who call themselves devout Christian act wickedly in the society.
Yes.
Let me repeat one more time. There's nothing worse than a person who walk out into the society, out in the world there, out of the church, and say, you know, I'm a spirit tongue talker Christian, but act wickedly in front of everyone. It really despises the name of Jesus. That's why I check my spiritual temperature every day. Do I walk righteously? Do I fear God? Am I selfish? Do I have the right attitude? Do I have the right motive to do this? Do I have any hidden agenda that I do this for my own self? We need to watch our life carefully every single day.
Amen.
Because we proclaim that we are the disciple of Jesus. We proclaim that we are son and a daughter of God. We need to give glory to Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Watch yourself. I even watch myself how I treat my wife. I repent all the time. I didn't open the door of the car enough for her. Last night I was repenting. I opened the door.
I need to watch myself, do how I treat my wife all the time. Am I sensitive to her? Do I treat her right? You know, everything. Watch yourself. Amen? Amen. That's why the Bible says be alert and watch. Be alert and watch. Watch what? Not watch other people. A lot of Christians are like this. How other people behave. No. Be alert and watch yourself. How are you doing? Your spiritual life. Don't watch other people. It's not your business. You watch yourself. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me wrap up this sermon by telling you another one. And I will continue in the camp. A life that is full of God's character, number one. Everyone say God's character. Trustworthiness, peace, joy, love, gentleness, kindness, goodness, humility. Amen. Generosity. Are you having your life, living your life that way? I don't want to be a Christian if I see other Christians like this. Have a long face. Yeah, Jesus loved me. He is good to me. I'm worried. I couldn't sleep. I have a lot of anxiety. I need to take some Prozac and Valium and Xanax. You think people are going to become Christian? No way. You need to be smiling, happy. Amen. You need to be excited, enthusiastic. Not walk around like, oh, God is so good. My golden fish just died yesterday in the tank. My dog just lost his teeth. My cat just bite each other. You know, if you do this, how can people believe in Jesus? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be religious. I tell you the story about being religious. A lady went up to heaven. You're going to like this story. A lady went up to heaven. And while she's standing in front of the pearly gate, she met Saint Peter. Saint Peter said, who you are? I am so and so. I want to go into heaven. He said that the only condition you can come to heaven is to spell one word. And she said, what word? Any word you want, Saint Peter said. So she say, L-O-V-E, love. Oh, St. Peter said, come in. You can enter the kingdom of heaven. Then she was there for a few days. St. Peter has to go on the business trip. St. Peter said, could you do something for me? Could you do the same job at the pearly gate? Anyone come up? You will do the same thing, the same job. So she stand at the pearly gate. And suddenly, her ex-husband show up. Her ex-husband showed up and she said, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm going to enter heaven. And she said, you need to do one thing. You need to spell one word. He said, what word? She said, this word. Spelled it. Czechoslovakia. In fact, yes, 2 days ago I asked my secretary to look in the dictionary, but I've just spelled, I don't even know how to spell Czechoslovakia. This is religious. This is not kindness. Amen. All the ex-husband said, no, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Amen. So can I say another one? Can I go on one more topic? Okay, and then we finish. You can tell your friend about this joke. Amen. Don't do that to your ex-wife, okay? Okay, now, not only the life of God's character, mercy, compassion, not only that, the life of dedicating to God. You need to dedicate to God's kingdom. Amen? You cannot be lukewarm. You need to be
totally sold out for Jesus. If you want people to believe in Jesus, you cannot sit on the fence, stand on two boats like this. You need to be on one boat, either Jesus' boat or somebody else's boat. Amen. Yeah. Look at here, I show you the life of Daniel's friend. What happened when Daniel's friend stood firm and said, we're going to worship our God, we're not going to waver back and forth like this. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to the king. Look at what they reply, okay? This is what they say. Look at their heart. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And you know what happened? Jesus showed up in that furnace fire, the fourth person, theophany, the presence of God. And the Bible says when they came out from the furnace fire, they could not even smell what you call the smoke. Yes, thank you. They could not smell the smoke. God just put protection on them, and the king said, your God is real. My dear brother and sister, we need to stand firm for God. We cannot be waver back and forth, shaken by the things of the world. We need to say, I am a disciple of Jesus. I cannot follow Jesus. I don't care if you even kill me. I will not give up preaching the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at one more example here. Look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. How about Daniel chapter 6? I skipped to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Daniel, verse 13. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, to the decrees you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. In other words, the king told anyone in the world, in the kingdom, that you cannot pray to any other God except my God. But Daniel still prayed for the God in Jerusalem, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So the king gave the order that they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. Look at the outcome. He was not eaten by the lion. The lion just breathed on him. Like this. He was not touched by lions. Look at the outcome, verse 22 and 23. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Miracle. Look at verse 26. Now look at what the king said. What a good witness to the king. Daniel did not waver. Daniel did not deny that his God. Look at what the testimony to the king. The king said, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. Amen. Amen. My dear brother and sister, we should stand firm in our faith. Amen. Amen. We should not say, when people come to you and say, oh, we have a party today. You should quit the church. You should miss the church on Sunday. You say, no. I'm going to go serve God. I have responsibility to be usher there. I have responsibility in the children program. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to your party later on. I'm going to choose my God first. If you choose your God first, God will honor you.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says in the 2 Samuel, say that, who honor me, I will honor. And whoever despise me, I will lightly esteem. I'm going to preach the sermon series called The Honor of God coming up after the camp. We're going to talk about the honor of God. And after I studied the Bible about the honor of God, I really learned that I need to honor God if I want God to honor me. How many people want God to honor you?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords will honor you if you honor him. Amen.
Amen.
Look at what Paul said. Though I am free, in 1 Corinthians 9:19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win. He make himself, he commit to God, he serve people to win as many as possible. Paul set the goal that I want to live a life of serving others, serving my God and others, to win as many as possible. Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons that all these years, our leaders in this church never served God for money. Mary Jo and Neil served God without any, even one penny, no pay. A lot of people here, because they want to show that we are not serving God for finances. We're serving God because we love him. Let people know that serving God is not about money. It's about loving God and dedicating to God.
Amen.
Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 verses 7 to 9. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He's willing to lose everything. I consider them rubbish. You know what rubbish mean in Greek language? How many people know? It means poop. That I may gain Christ and be found. I want to wake you up. And he found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Amen. So Paul said, I'm willing to lose everything so that I can know Christ and so that many people will come to know God. Can we live our life like that? I remember I tell this story one time already. At that time, we have a new bookkeeper named Diane Duong. And that now she is Diane Tay. Diane came to me and said that one of your patients have to pay you $4,000. They don't pay the bill. But, in other words, the wife died, the patient died, the husband kept the money from Blue Cross and didn't pay me. When Diane walked into my office and say, you want to send them to collection? Because they owe you $4,000, a lot. At that time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, give to this husband, so that he can use for the funeral. And not only that, you will show good heart to this family, Diane going to be saved.
Amen.
So I did. I said, Diane, write off. Write it off. Don't send to collection. Bless the husband. 4,000 bucks. A few months later, Diane got saved.
Amen.
If I am selfish, I'm greedy for money, Diane will see it. And she may not believe in my Jesus Christ. You see what I mean? So it's important that we are willing to give up something for the sake of the souls around us. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Giving up. Die to self. Dead people have no feeling. Amen. People may offend you. People will talk bad about you. People may take advantage of you. You don't have that feeling of anger. You just give it up to God and say, God, I am willing to lose all these things that I will save as many as I can. Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we want to live our life to prepare the soil that people will come to know God, that the Word of God will be receptive to their heart, Lord. Father, help all of us to live a godly life, that is a life that's full of the character of God, the life that is dedicated totally to the kingdom of God. Father, help all of us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we all will not despise you through our actions, our deeds, our words, our attitudes and motive. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, you help all of us, Lord. Help all of us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, before I close the service, I'd like to ask one of the most important questions. If you don't know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior yet, I want to encourage you, no one loves you more than Jesus. Jesus, many thousand years ago, God created Adam and Eve. They are our ancestors. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the sinful nature has passed into the generation to generation. But because our God is righteous and holy, God cannot accept sinner back to heaven. The sin has separated man from God, sinner from God. Sin is destroying mankind right now. Let me ask you this question. Any one of you in this room never lies one time in your life? Raise your hand up. If you never lied. If you never hate somebody, raise your hand up. So I don't raise hand either. I hate somebody too in the past. I hope I don't continue to hate people. If any one of you never show pride and arrogance in your life, raise your hand up. So in conclusion, we are all sinners in this room by nature. But because of sin, the sin destroyed us. That's why people get sick. That's why people get into trouble, get into car accident, get into curses. But God loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ into the world and died to pay the price and the punishment and the penalty of our sin. What we need to do is to say, sorry God, I sinned against you. I want you to forgive me. And I want to receive that payment that Jesus died for me. After that, it doesn't mean that you will become perfect overnight. But what happened is that your sins are forgiven. It means that you're going to start to have a new life, that the Spirit of God will work inside of you, and you become a new person day by day. You will begin to hate sin and love righteousness by the nature of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, if you never have Christ in your life, if you know that you are sinners and you need God's forgiveness, don't go on with sin. I beg you, please turn away from sin. It's not fun to go to hell. It's not fun to go to the eternal lake of fire. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Let's go to heaven together. Let's enter into the kingdom of God together. Your life will never be the same. You will be changed. Amen. At the end of the service, I'm going to stand here, wait for you. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, I'd like to have the privilege to lead you, to invite Jesus Christ into your life. And I will pray with you. Amen. I'm going to stand here, wait for you, if you want to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Just walk to here and say, Pastor, Brother Lau, Dr. Lau, I want to invite Jesus into my life. Even one person in this room gets saved. come to know Christ, heaven will rejoice. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't we stand up, join hands together. Join hands together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and fill your life. That you will have the supernatural power of God to live a godly life and live a life of dedication to the kingdom of heaven. That you will never compromise like the three Jewish men, like Daniel, like Paul. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We ask you, Lord, that you fill all of us with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. You fill us, Lord. Help us to walk a godly life. Fill them, Father. Touch them. Help them, Lord. May the fire of God fill them. Fill the hungry heart, Lord. Yes, Lord. May their light shine, the light of God. May they become hungry for the things of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fill them. Give them power to walk a holy life, Lord. Bless them, Lord, indeed. Bless them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. How many people welcome the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing this song. Go ahead.
Spirit, touch me above. Holy Spirit, fill me with your love. Holy Spirit, move upon my life. Holy Spirit, stir me inside. Holy Spirit, touch me from above. Holy Spirit, fill me with love. Holy Spirit, move upon your life. Holy Spirit, touch me inside. Love. Of the Lord, do your work in me. Now yield to you, Spirit of the Lord, do your work in me. The Spirit, touch me of the Holy Spirit, fill me with your love. Holy Spirit, move on my life. Holy Spirit, stir me inside. I yield to you, Spirit of the Lord.
The Lord told me to call a group of people who you know in your heart that you struggle with certain sins, and you know that you still cannot be set free from those sins, and that really stumble people around you. And one of the sins that God wants to set free today is the sin of short temper, anger. And there are other sins too that really block the light and the glory of God from shining from your life. If you're those people, I'm going to pray today. I'm not going to pray a long prayer with people. I'm going to pray quickly and get done and go to the camp. I like to pray for people who struggle with sins. If you are those people, come out here. I'll pray for you. Pastor Cesar will help me pray too. Amen. Mary Jo O'Neill, help me pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yield to you, rid of the Lord in me. Spirit, watch Archer too. Make sure Archer is with you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Lord said that some of you like to have negative attitude. Can I have my mic? Can I have my mic, please? My mic. Hallelujah. Some of you like to have negative attitude. You think negative all the time. God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. Negative attitude, go away. In Jesus' mighty name. Negative attitude, go away. Anger, go away. Close your eyes, lift your hand up. Close your eyes, don't look at other people. To you of the Lord, me, Spirit,
we trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.